Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma Ayin. Hey, we are about 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Ayin Dalamud Beis, and today is entirely Agadata. We are going to be dealing with Mun and Slav. So I just mentioned briefly right before the daf. So we're going to be talking about how our daily sustenance came straight from Shamayim and literally rained down from heaven. And so the Gemara is going to be spending time with two of these topics. Now, obviously, that has nothing to do with Yuma. So how are we here? So that's a fair question. So yesterday we started the eighth and final parak of the Masechta. We spoke yesterday about the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah outlined in detail all the Inuyim. We talked about Achil and Shtiyah. We talked about the other Inuyim as well. Achil and Shtiyah subject to an Isur Karis. If one were to eat or drink on Yom Kippur, one would be in violation of Inisim Es Nafsho Sechem and thereby subject to the Karis penalty that's listed, that is stated in the Torah. When it comes to the other Inuyim, so one is not going to be subject to Karis for the other Inuyim. On the other hand, as we pointed out yesterday, the Rishonim debate, deliberate, whether the other Inuyim are an Isur Daraisa just simply without the Isur Kares, or the other Inuyim are a Din Darabanan, an Isur Darabanan. Yesterday we went through the Tosfos Yeshonim, who was of the latter position, not the former position. The Gemara wanted to know on the Amud Beis of yesterday's Daf, how do we know what the Inuyim are? What source is there in the Torah that actually gives us the Inuyim? The Torah by Yom Kippur only says V'inisim es nafsho sechem, that we have to afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur without giving us clear parameters of what the Inuy is. And as we know, when it comes to the most prohibited activity on Yom Kippur, it's achil v'shtiyah, it's eating and drinking. So how do I know that eating and drinking is really the prototypical Inuy? The abstention of eating and drinking is considered Inui. So that was the Gemara's question yesterday. On the Amud Beis, the Braisa went through a number of Svaras in terms of why that should be. I think all told, we had three different Svaras in terms of how we know that an Inui really reflects in an abstinence of eating and drinking. The one of the Svaras that was, might have been four. Okay, anyway. Okay. One of the Svaras that was given is that we do find Inui mentioned in the Torah, and specifically by the Mun. So the Torah says that the Mun was there to afflict us. And the Torah actually uses the word Inui as it relates to Mun. And just like the Inui mentioned to Mun obviously is a food. So to Inui is also going to be, on Yom Kippur, is going to be the absence of food. The absence of food. That's a segue. That's going to now lead the Gemara to a lengthy discussion regarding the Mun. And as long as we're talking about the Mun dropping from Shamayim, they're also going to be discussing the Slav as well. That's going to be today's daf. Quite frankly, it's going to also be a good part of tomorrow's daf as well. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. The Torah says, "Hamachilcha min amidbar." Sorry, "Hamachilcha man ba midbar leman anoscha." The Torah says that I fed you man in the desert. I'm sorry. Leman anoscha. And it's going, and it's there to afflict you. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is really picking up on what is a question, on what is a problem, and that is that what do you mean? The Mun is there to afflict us? Meaning, how is the Mun there to afflict us? In fact, if anything, it's there to provide for us. That's a very funny pasuk, and the Gemara is going to give a couple explanations. Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi, Charamar, Eino Dome Mishe Yishlo Pas Besalo, Mishe Yishlo Pas Besalo. So, how is the Mun afflicting? So, the Gemara, one pshat of the Gemara is that it's afflicting because you can't compare somebody who's got bread in the basket and somebody who does not have bread in the basket. That's obviously a phrase. And basically the idea is as follows. If you go home and you open up your pantry and you see a lot of food, okay. So that means to say that you have a little bit more for the supplies than just today. You have supplies for tomorrow and the day after that. And we have something called Costco. So, oh my God. Oh my gosh. So we're supplied. Good. So the reason why is because it's security, it's comfort. But if all you have is today's meals and you don't have anything beyond today's meals, it's nerve wracking, it's anxiety. That's laman anoscha. That's one pshat. The Gemara gives a second pshat. And the other pshat is as follows. Look, the man was delicious, but what did it look like? It looked like the same thing every single day. Now the Torah tries to give a description of what it looks like. Looked like fried bread. It looked like some sort of coriander seed. None of this really helps us, but in other words, what it looked like is the same thing every day. And even though what we ate tasted delicious, but it didn't look good. And the Gemara says that's laman anoscha. And now the Gemara is going to make a couple of comments regarding the need to see food. Okay, to talk about the Gemara being, you know, the Gemara is always way ahead of its time, but talk about the Gemara being way ahead of its time in terms of presentation. The Gemara says it's a big deal. So Amar Rav Yosef, Mikan Remes L'Sum, Shochlim V'Ein Sveim. Blind people, they're going to eat, but they're never going to be satiated because they don't see their food. Now, I'm not going to lose on the irony that Rav Yosef himself obviously was a Suma. He was blind. And so he had firsthand knowledge of what it meant to not be able to see the food you ate. Amar Rabbi Hilchach Mandias Le'Sudas Lo Lechle El B'Yamamo. Abai says somebody who's having a meal should have it during the day. What are you going to do? You're going to have a meal at night? You're not going to be able to see what you're eating, right? Could be, the Gemara doesn't make the connection, but could be that part of the reason why the Chachamim instituted lights for Friday, for Friday night, right, Ner Shabbos, is because part of the enjoyment of Shabbos is seeing what we're eating. Amar Rabbi Zera, Maikra Tov Marei Nai Mahalach Nefesh. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to be talking about this perception of seeing and how powerful it is. Now, we talked about it as a positive. It helps satiate. And it really helps us enjoy our meal. The Gemara says there are negative aspects to seeing, and the Gemara here goes through it very, very clearly, very candidly. Tov marei inayim mahalach nafesh. So what does that mean? In other words, how do we understand pshat in the pasuk in Koheles? I'm Rish Lakish. Tov marei inayim biyishai yosim megufish hamaisa. As far as what speaks to us in terms of a yetzer hara. So looking at women is actually, now the Gemara uses the word tov. Tov over here doesn't, I mean, it means good, but over here in this case, it means it's more powerful, right? Just seeing women inappropriately is more powerful than that of actually having an act of intimacy with a woman. So again, the act of seeing is extraordinarily powerful. So Amar Tov Marei Naim Malach. I'm sorry, Yosef Megufish Almaisa Shenemar Tov Marei Naim Malach Nefesh. Okay, Gemara is going to stay on this theme for just a little bit. Kitein because they know Yisalech Meme Sharim Pasuk and Mishle. The Gemara goes on to explain. Amar Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi. And over here, by the way, you see the thread because Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi provided the previous drasha. So now this is still Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi. So Charamar Kol No Sein Eino Bekoso Kol Arais Kulan Domos Alav Kemeshur. So somebody who is liking his cup obviously meaning drink, and drink back in the day meant alcohol. So somebody who is really, really he's an alcoholic, basically. He drinks excessively to the point of inebriation. So any erva to him now is going to seem like it is meishur. It's basically meishur is a flat plane. In other words, it's permitted. So intoxication leads to that kind of that kind of behavior. The Gemara gives us another pshat, a second pshat, and that is we're on the top of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. The Chanamar and the others of the position call Nosin and Bekosu Kol Olam Kulo Dama Love Kemeshur. Again, somebody who is familiar with his drink, somebody gets intoxicated, so the entire world becomes permitted to him. Rashi says the money of everybody becomes permitted to him, meaning you're not going to respect other people's properties and other people's monies, and you'll just simply help yourself to it. Daga Belev Ish Isichenu. So another pasuk in Mishle, the Gemara now is going to be quoting, and a drasha immediately followed by Rabbi Amin and Rabbi Asi. The simple explanation of the pasuk is daga b'leif, anxiety, right? I mean, we all know what anxiety is. The where is it? Not here. Yeah, Rashi over here gives such a wonderful definition. Rashi is the third line down. So daga pachet shadoeg al hefset shum davar pen yavou. Right? It's really it's almost like a perfect definition of anxiety. I mean, you worry about things that maybe it comes. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe that's going to happen. Who knows? Okay, good. So that's anxiety. So the pasuk in Mishle says, "Daga b'leiv ish ishichena." So the simple read of the pasuk is, you know what it's going to do? It's going to bend you over. Meaning it's going to inhibit. It's not going to be able to help us stand up straight. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. Now the Gemara is going to give a couple of deeper pshatim. Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi charam ayisichena midato. So the Gemara is going to talk about strategies in terms of how to deal with daiga. How to deal with anxiety. So one is basically don't focus on it. Okay. V'charamar yisichena l'acherim. And the other position is that you tell it over to other people. In other words, if you have a concern, if something bothers you, so talk to somebody else. Rashi writes over here, yisichena l'acherim, shema yisiehu eitzah. They may give you advice, right? They may be able to help you out. Good. Yeah, okay, good. V'nachash afar lachmo. So the Gemara now jumps to a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Now it does definitely seem like we're jumping around, The truth of the matter is we are. But again, the thread right now is that Rabbi Amin and Rav Asi have a couple of pshatim that they offered on these various psukim throughout Tanakh. So, okay, so we are right now going to be jumping around just a little bit. So now the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describes the Nachash, Afar Lachmal. So what's his sustenance? His sustenance is dirt. Right? That was the klala that was given to the Nachash. You're going to be on your belly, and you're going to be eating dirt all day. So Rabbi Ami Rav Asi, Chanam Rafila Ochul Kamane Olam Toim, Behem Tam Afar. And so the Gemara goes on to explain that even if all the most delicious foods are presented, all he's going to be tasting is the dirt. Or another way to say it is that he's not going to be really comforted. He won't really feel like he ate unless he eats a little bit of dirt. Even if he eats other foods, he will not feel like he is properly satiated until he has dirt immediately following. In other words, dirt's got to be his chaser. And I'd like to share with you, I'd like to show you that the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that of the Basav Adam. Midah is Basav Adam, Machnias Chavero, Yoredi Molachayev. If let's say you are at odds with somebody else. Now the Gemara of course is not condoning that there should be any kind of quarreling one amongst the other, but, okay, just the Gemara gives us real talk. In other words, if you are really at odds with somebody and you really want to hurt that individual, so what do? Yoredi Molachayev. You basically, right, like almost like the English expression, right? You get down and dirty. You do whatever it takes to harm in any way possible. All right, Rashi over here, right? Yoredi Molachayev. Rashi bechol davreshu yachol laknisu lafsido hu yored. Whatever is necessary to hurt the other individual that you really have animosity towards, you're going to do that. Avakash Baruch Hu inokein kilos anachash ola lagag mazonas avimo yored lamata mazonas avimo. So, but meanwhile, look at Akash Baruch Hu. So he was upset with the snake, and he gave a klala to the snake. But meanwhile, even within the klala, snake's always going to have food available, always. And kilos a kanan ochal masharaba ochal v'shosa masharaba shosa. Again, Akash Baruch Hu was really upset with Kanan and cursed Kanan, and that he was going to be in heaven. But even within the curse, he's always going to have a master. Master's always going to provide for him. Okay, kilos a isha kol refsa machareha. Akash Baruch Hu gave a klala to the woman. And meanwhile, everyone's running after that. So kilos adama kol nizon emenu. It gave a klala to the earth. And meanwhile, everyone needs the earth in order to provide food. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very measured when giving a klala. And even within the klala, so there's still going to be, there's still going to be a rachmanis even within every klala given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zachrenu Sadaga, we're back now in the basic theme of today's dafs, man and slav. And now we move in the direction of Slav. And here we're in Parshas Baloscha. And the Jewish people now are formally complaining to Moshe about the lack of food. And Zachrenu Sadaga Asher Nochal B'Mitzrayim Chinam. And they say, and this is their battle cry. You know, we remember our free fish that we had in Mitzrayim. And now the Gemara is going to darshan. So Rav Shmuel, so the Gemara now is going to present two explanations, both by Rav and Shmuel. We don't know which one said which, but Chanam Adagim v'Chanam Arayas. So when they talked about the free fish, what are they making reference to? So one pshat is Kipshuto. They actually had fish back in Mitzrayim. And the other one, no, is that Dag is not a reference to fish. It's a euphemism. It's a reference to the freedom, the sexual freedom that they had back in Mitzrayim. So and how does Dag connect to that? So Rashi writes over here, V'yidgu l'rov, right? The bracha that was given to Ephraim and Manasseh is that they were going to procreate, they're going to multiply like fish. Okay, so dog is a euphemism. So, and now the Gemara is going to go over each of the pshatim, which one of them seemed to be more correct. So, man da'amar dagim dichsiv nochal. So, if the pshat is dog, it makes a lot of sense. The verb used in the pasuk is that we're going to eat. Okay. Man da'amar arayas dichsiv chinam. And the one who says it's arayas, well, look, chinam. Chinam is free, right? If we're actually talking about fish, it's not free. You have to pay for it. If you're talking about arayos, so, okay, it's free. Ulaman dam arayos haksiv nochal. So the Gemara now wants to go, what is each pshat going to do with the other word? So if you say it's arayos, so what do you do with nochal? Lishna ma'alya nakadichliv achla machtapia. Varma lo palti oven. So the word achila in relation to arayos is a euphemism. The Torah wants to be as discreet as possible, even when speaking about the most delicate things. So when talking about intimacy, so the Torah will use the word achila. Even though it's not talking about achil, it's talking about intimacy. The Gemara quotes the pasuk for Mishlei, describing a woman who is behaving in very illicit manner, And she says, Machtapia, va'amr lo paalti avin. She wipes her mouth and she says, I didn't do anything wrong. And it's euphemism. It's not talking about her mouth. So you see that the Torah speaks in this kind of euphemistic language. Ulaman dar madagim aichinam. Now, if you say that the correct pshat is that they're talking actually about fish, so what does it mean, chinam? So, dahava maisina le mefkera. They found fish from Hefker. In other words, they did find free fish in Mitzrayim. Da'amar Marke Sheyisrael Shoavim Mayim Akash Baruch Hu Mezamnim Lahem Besoch Hamayim Dabim Ketanim Bekad Dehen. In fact, when they went to draw water, so Akash Baruch Hu provided them fish right there, and so yeah, the fish actually was free in Mitzrayim. So we're still on Bnei Yisrael complaining to Moshe. We remember our dagim, which were chinam. So right now we are alternating between two different pshatim in terms of what it means. It's either dagim mamish or it's talking about arayos. The Gemara still stays on this topic just a little bit longer. So if it's dagim, I understand. But arayos, weren't they careful about arayos in Mitzrayim? And the Gemara says, sure they were. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Hayne Dichtiv, Gana Ulachusi Kala. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim describes how we were basically a locked gate. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim is always understood as a metaphor describing the Jewish people, right? The simple reading of Shir Hashirim is talking about the relationship between a man and a woman, but it's talking really about the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Akash Baruch Hu. And when it says Ganuch Achusi Kala, right, you are a locked fence, meaning that when we were in Mitzrayim, we still maintained a state of tahara and kedusha, and we didn't involve ourselves in arayos. So how could you say that the Jewish people were talking about the arayos they enjoyed in Mitzrayim? El Alamanda Amar Arayos, my Ayan Chasum, Mehanach Dasir, Lo Preach the Behu. So the Gemara says, well, no. There were in Mitzrayim a list of arayos which were prohibited to him. It's what we call Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So in that regard, so they maintained purity. However, there will be coming a list of arayos which are going to be added, meaning the list of arayos that the Torah introduces over that of and above. The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is extensive, and it's where those arayos where the Jewish people help themselves to extensively. That's the balance between the Pasuk and Shir Shirim and Zachanu Asadaga, which is a reference to arayos. So Bisham Lamanda Amar Arayos Hanadichsi Vayishma Moshe Asam Bochel Mishbuchosav. Now, if you say it's arayos, so then there's another Pasuk that really supports the idea that they were complaining about arayos. And all the extra prohibitions of arayos, because it says that they were bochel mishpachosav. They were crying by the families. And the Gemara's understanding is, al iske mishpachosav she'nes ulam lishkav etzlam. What they were complaining about is that, look, now there's a whole list of relatives that we can't be with, and it really bothered them. Elamanda amar adagim ay bochel mishpachosav. So, but if you say that the fish that they were complaining about was actually fish, so how do you understand the pasuk bochel mishpachosav? Responds the Gemara, hava ha-havai. Now, even if you say that it's fish, they were complaining about the fish, and they were complaining also about their rice as well. Meaning, but the pasuk regarding the dog is talking about fish. The pasuk of bochel mishpachosav is talking about a rice. Okay. So step number one. So they were complaining about the free fish that they had in Mitzrayim. What is that a reference to? So we just went over machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Next. So they remember the cucumber, they remember the watermelon. So Rebbe Amiv Rebbe Asi. So what are they complaining about? Meaning right now they were receiving manna in a daily dosage, and now they're complaining about and they're recalling and remembering the food that they had in Mitzrayim. So what's going on? So Chana Amar Tam Kol Aminim Tamo Beman Tam Chameishes Aminim Halal Lo Tamo Bo. So one pshat is that in the month they were able to taste basically any food with exception to five. Which five? The five that are listed in that pasuk. The cucumbers, the watermelon, and even though I'm saying English words, it's not like I really know what they are, but whatever. The five that are mentioned over there, that they don't taste. Now the Gemara doesn't say why. In other words, they could taste any food they want except for those particular five. So it could be that they're harmful. The Gemara really does not specify why those particular five. But in other words, despite the fact that they could have their mind tasting like anything, but unfortunately, it's human nature. If there are just a couple of items here, five, literally a handful of items that it can taste like, so whatever, we're just built this way. We focus on the things we don't have rather than focusing on the things that we do have. The things that we do have far outnumber the things that we don't have, but it's just unfortunately that is human nature. Chara matam kol aminim tamo taman uma mashan v'alalu taman lo v'lo mamashan. Another pshat, a slightly more subtle pshat, is that we were able to taste everything with the man, both in terms of taste and in terms of texture. But when it comes to these items, so we were able to taste them, but no texture. It didn't provide the texture of these items. So it makes it even more subtle. We were able to taste these items, we just weren't able to enjoy the texture of these items. Okay. The Torah gives a description of what man looks like. It is Kezera Gad Lavan. It looks like, again, the coriander seed. White coriander seed? Good. Doesn't help me. But anyway, Amar Rabbi Asi, Agul ki gida v'lavan kamargalis. So the Gemara says that when we're talking about gid, it means basically the shape of it. It's round. And in terms of lavan, it's kamargalis. It looks like a pearl. It looks like some sort of precious stone. The Gemara quotes, we have Tanya Namihachi, but really Tanya Rabbanan. Okay, Dilgad Shadom Lazar Pishtan Kibigiv Olim. So if in this Braisa, again, trying to give us a better description of what the man looked like. So it looked like Zera Pishon, looked like flaxseed. So anyone see flaxseed? Not me. But I saw the oil. So okay, good. But anyway, it looks like the flaxseed that's in the stalk. Acher mamim gad shadom la hagada, shemoshechas libo, shal adam kemayim. So the reason why the Torah describes it as God is because it's like hagada, agadata. Right? Everybody loves agadata. You say over a story, okay, now people are listening. Right? that's the way the world works also. So it draws you in. And the same thing with the man. The man was enticing. It was exciting. It draw you in. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara gives another pshat, another brace, another pshat. God shall make it lam l'Yisrael, a ben tishla rishon, a ben shiva l'acharon. God, from the word megid, it tells a story. And that is that if a woman were married and then she, whatever, went from one man to another, let's say lawfully, right? Either she was a widow or it was a divorce, whatever the case was, back in the Midbar. Okay, it's a funny topic, divorce in the Midbar. So whatever the case was, but she didn't wait three months. Now, we know the Gemara tells us a number of places that a woman, when going from one man to the next man, she has to wait a requisite 3 months' time in order to properly determine paternity. So this woman didn't, back in the Midbar. Okay, so the man was able to establish paternity. Because whoever the father was, apparently he went by the father. Whoever the father was, the portion of that child went in front of the house of the father. So now we'll know which one's the father. Lavan Shemal bin Avanosem Sheyisrael. And it's called Lavan. Why? Because it whitens the sins of the Jewish people. What does that mean? Rashi over here writes, Rashi's on the second column. This is a two-column Rashi page. Rashi's on the top of the second column. Shemal bin Avanosem, Mitoch Shayudogim Shema Lo Yered Man Lamachar, Hayu Misham Libam Lamakom. You know, they had to pray every day for their food. Okay, so, right, when are our tefillahs enhanced? When we really need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's when our tefillahs are enhanced. So for them in the Midbar, every day they really needed a Kadosh Baruch Hu because today's food is done. And what's happening tomorrow? Okay, so, you know, I think the man is coming tomorrow, but we don't have any food. So they really were, they just were more religiously minded. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Yosef, Amar Kishem Shanavi Hayamagilam Lisra, Masha Bechor, Masha Bestakim. Just like the Navi tells them what's in the cracks and crevices, meaning the Navi knows. So the same thing, Kachaman, Magilam Lisra, Masha Bechor, Masha Bestakim. The man also had this kind of ability. The Gemara gives an example, Ketzad. Shem Shabbalif Ne Moshe Ledin. Two people came in front of Moshe. Ze Omer Avadaganavta Ze Omer Atamachartili. And a debate over an Evan, Evan Kanani. And so one said, you stole him from me. The other one says, that's funny, you sold him to me. And so now, Amar Le Moshe, Laboker Mishpah Lamachar. In Nimsa, Omro Beves Rabo. Rishon biyadusha ze ganvavim nimsa omra beves rabo sheni biyadusha ze machrulo. And so the man would be the decider. Basically, wherever the portion of the eved's man went in front of the house of his first master, it was a theft. The house of the second master, it was a sale. Ish v'isha shabal lifnei Moshe l'din. And now we're going to go over a second example. So a man and woman went in front of Moshe. So ze omer hi sarcha alai v'hi omer hi sarach alai. And a question of, we're going to get a divorce, and it's a question of fault now. And that becomes a financial consideration because there's tsuva. Okay, again, second time today, divorce in the desert. Okay. but now there's tsuva implications. If she did something, if her behavior resulted in the divorce, so she committed adultery. So then she forfeits her ksuva. If his behavior resulted in divorce, so then he has to pay her ksuva. Or if it's no fault, he has to pay her ksuva. But whatever the case is, so they were having the following debate. So Amalei Moshe, Laboker Mishpat, Lamachar. And so Moshe says, okay, so I got the man. The man's going to help me. And now, where is her man going to go? So and now you notice the next line is in parentheses because the girsa over here is a little bit corrupted. So the Bach over here, I'll read the Bach. The so he has the following. Im nimsa, if you want to follow with me, it's very small print. It's the Bach in Gimel. So the Bach writes, Im nimsa omra beveis ba'ala biyadua shehu sarach ala nimsa omra beveis avia biyadua shehi sarach alav. So now her omer. So if it goes to her husband, so that means that basically she's still the financial responsibility of the husband, which means that he has to pay ksuva. If her omer of the man is going to her parents' house, so that means that he's not financially responsible for her and he doesn't have to pay the ksuva. Okay. Ksiv. After the parentheses, we're picking it up in the Gemara. Uveredes atal al hamachna laila yarad aman alav. So if ksiv ayatzam v'laktuv, ksiv, what did I skip a little bit? No. Ksiv uveredes atal al hamachna laila yarad haman alav. Good. So uksiv ayatzam v'laktuv. Uksiv shatu amvalaktu. So, I'm good. So there are three different psukim that basically describe where the man fell. So one pasuk describes that basically it was in the camp. Another pasuk describes that they went on a little bit of walk to collect. And another pasuk describes that they basically were on a search party, search and rescue party for the man. So which one is it? So the Gemara says it's all three. So haketzah tzadikim yared al pesach beteim. So if you're a tzadik, so the man came door to door service. Beinanim yatsu v'laktu. So if you were a Beinani, so basically, okay, you went on a little bit of a collection. And Rishayim Shatu Balaktu, now you're in Russia, so you had to go on a search party in order to find your man. Ksiv Lechem, Ksiv Ugo, Ksiv Tachanu. Again, three different descriptions of preparing the man. So it's, sometimes it's called bread, sometimes it's called cake, sometimes they had to grind it up. So again, Haketzah Tzadikim Lechem. So if you're Tzadik, so what you got is something that was akin to bread, already prepared, you had no preparation. So, Beinonim, Ugos. Now, the Beinonim had an Uga. Okay. Uga, generally speaking, I have a very positive association with Uga. So, why with the Beinonim getting Uga? But, obviously, Uga is something of a lesser quality than that of Lechem. And then, finally, Rishayim, Tachno Berechayim. And if you're a Rasha, so, you had to prepare, you had to grind it up. Okay, so, it really told everybody where they stood spiritually with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that... A daily reminder of where I stand religiously, where I stand spiritually, you have to imagine that's not so easy. And not only knowing where I stand with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but knowing where other people stand with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you wake up in the morning, you see your neighbor grinding the mun, and you're like, okay, okay, yeah, right. Okay, odachu b'meducha. So and they put in the mortar. They pound in the mortar. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yitamer, Rav Chama, Bar Chanin, Malam Shered Lahem LiYisrael. Imaman Tachshit Nashim. So what does that mean? That what are they grinding up? What is that talking about? So the Gemara says is that coming daily with the man. So there were other things that came down with the man as well. So the first pshat of the Gemara is that what came down with the man. So that is Tachshit Nashim, typically translated as jewelry, but not here. You don't grind jewelry, but over here we're talking about spices and perfumes that weren't worn by women. So that also came down with the man as well. Davishini dochme meducha. You take an herb, you grind it, and that's how you make perfume. It's clearly evident of the fact that I have no idea how to make perfume, but but you understand though. That's the basic idea. Ubishla beparor, and they cooked it and they baked it. I'm Rabbi Chama Malam Shiarat Lahem Lisol im amansi kekedera. Also, spices came down. Salt, pepper, and other wonderful condiments came down from Shemaim also with the man. Now, even though the man can taste whatever you want, but I mean, giving a simple shot in the Gemara. But at the same time, however, we like our salt. We like our pepper. So, once again, more description of the man. So, what does that mean, baboker, baboker? I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini. I'm Rav Yonasan. Midavish yared lahem baboker. Sorry, midavish yared lahem baboker baboker. Malamish yared lahem Yisrael avanim tovim amargolios imaman. So there were precious stones that came down with the man as well. So and that was the Ode Nadava that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in order to help him make the Mishkan. So what do you mean? The that which came down with the man helped make the Mishkan? The answer is yes. That which came down with the man helped build the Mishkan because there were precious stones that came down with the man as well. The pasuk describes how the clouds brought the Avnei HaShoam and the description of what that is. Tana Nesiim Amish. So one is that it's actual clouds. Evechenu Amar Nesiim Veruach VeGeshemayin VeHayat Tamo Ketam L'Shad HaShaman. And what did it taste like? So it tasted like L'Shad HaShaman. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Abo Ma Sheid Zetin Oktoim Ba Kama Ta'amim Af Aman Kol Zman SheYisrael Ochlim Asom Motziim Bo Kama Ta'amim. So, just like when you have a tinok, so he's nursing. It's like, how do we know what the baby's tasting? But the baby, the only sustenance of the baby is the milk of its mother. So, the assumption is that, okay, good. It provided full nutrition and it provided its full taste, right? Didn't get bored with it. So the same thing is true with the Jewish people Amman. So, another version, another interpretation, Lashon Mamish. So Mashed Zem Mesapek Lakama Gavanim Afaman Mesapek Lakama Ta'amim. When it says Lashad, it's a reference to a shade. And you know, the shade takes on many different forms, okay, many variations. Okay, we don't have experience with shadim. So I know people will disagree with me. but we don't have any experience with shadim. But just like it changes and goes in different shades, so the same thing is true with the man. It's the same basic idea, just a question of how to understand the word Lashad. Vayomar Moshe b'seis Hashem lachem be'erev basar le'echov v'lechem b'boker lizboa. Okay. Moshe says that in the evening we receive meat and in the morning we got the lechem. So Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, basar sheshalu shelo kahogen itelem shelo kahogen. Now we did ask for meat, and because we asked improperly, inappropriately, so therefore it was nitan shelo kahogen. It was given to us inappropriately, meaning it was given to us at nighttime. Nighttime is not a good time to have meat. Once again, it goes back to the fact that we can't see what we're eating. Also, what are you going to do? You're going to eat right before you go to sleep? Okay, that's crazy. Meanwhile, the American culture and custom is that's exactly what we do. Okay, fine. And lechem sheshalu kahogen itein lahem kahogen. And when it comes to bread, so the bread we asked appropriately. Rashi writes over here, where do we see that we ask for the bread appropriately? So Rashi says, "E efshar lios b'lo lachem." In other words, it's such a staple, it's such a basic, that, in other words, we understood that we need bread. And, okay, we ask for it appropriately. So, mikan lam d'tar derecher shalo yochel adam basar ela b'layla. So and the Gemara says, that from here, we learn derecher that a person, generally speaking, should not eat meat except for night. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Abai teaches us that you have to be eating the food during the day. So ke'en yamama kamrina. So he says no, ke'en yamama. So basically, not nighttime, not daytime, but basically as day goes into night, otherwise known as what we call supper, but early supper. So Amar Avachar by Yaakov Petchila Yisrael Domim Kitarnegolim Shem Nakrim Vashma. So and now, in terms of etiquette, the Gemara has a word about proper etiquette. Originally, what we would do is that we eat like chickens. Basically, we would pick at our food at every single day, and we didn't have something called mealtime. And then Achabah Moshe Vekavalem Zman Seuda, and Moshe says, no, there's something called mealtime. Okay, right? Again, another cultural phenomena where clearly back in the Gemara, so they were used to having two meals a day. And now, culturally speaking, so we have accustomed ourselves to have three meals a day.
Okay. But it says something before that the meat came down at night. It was no good at night. But yet here, they tell you
I guess that's, in other words, the Gemara balanced it with Abaye. Meaning Abaye says it's got to be during the day. The Gemara says at night. So it means, in other words, towards the end of the day. Okay. Yeah, but I hear. Okay, now, so fine. So now we're fast-forwarding about Loscha. So we went through the complaint, right? We handled the complaint department over there when the Jews were complaining in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. And now as we move ahead, so the Slav came down and they ate and a lot of Bnei Yisrael died. And the description of their death is inconsistent. One pasuk says, So it says that while the meat was in their teeth, they died immediately. And the ksiv ad chodesh amim, and some died 30 days later. So ha ketzad? All right, by the end, we're not at the end of the daf, but at this point in time, you already know the direction the Gemara is going. So ketzad beinonim la'altar mesu rishayim et starim v'ochim ad chodesh amim. So the beinonim, they died immediately. They were spared from suffering. But when it comes to the rishayim, so 30 days later. So vayishtechu amar Reish Lakish al tikre vayishtechu ela vayishchatu. Now the pasuk vayishtechu means that it was spread out, right? Shetach. So the a carpet in modern Hebrew. But the Gemara says, okay, but we could take the letters and just rearrange them a little bit, and it's now shchita. So ela vayishchatu malamich in ischayvus anem she yisrael shchita shatuach. So the stop at the word shechita. So the Jewish people, right? So name Shal Yisrael, which again is a euphemism. So they deserve to be shechted, meaning by virtue of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was providing and they were complaining and the slav came down because of their complaint. So really the shechita is going on the Jewish people. That's what they deserve. Shatuach Tana Mishmei the Rebbe Yoshua Ben Karchal Tikrei Shatuach Ela Shachut Melamish Yarel Lam Yisrael Imaman Davar Shatav Shechita. So coming together down with the man is something that requires shechita, meaning the slav came down with the man and it requires shechita. So Amar Rebbe v'chi mekanat alame, really, that's the source for shechita? V'lo kvar nemar v'yam teru l'kim kafar shol v'chol of kanaf. And Rebbe v'tanyam, we learned in the Brisa, Rebbe Omer v'zavach v'kasher si v'sticham alame shin instav v'moshe ala v'esha v'ala kana arov echad ba'ofa arov shnayim be'behema. The halachas of shechita, halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. We saw this back in Chulin, now we're seeing it here at the end of Yuma. It's a halacha l'moshe mi'sinai that you need to shecht an animal. We're not learning it from the slav. So elamata malamer shatoach. Okay, so let's go back. Let's try again. So what are we saying from the word shatoach? Malamit sheyared lehem mashtichim. So the Gemara says okay. So over here, so what came down is mashtichim. Rashi haslav aya ose lifneim ala aretz mashtichim. Okay, basically it came down right in layers on top of them. Uksiv lechem, uksiv shemen, uksiv devash. Back to the man. Okay, right. Today's basic themes of the daf are going to be slav and man. So we started man. Now we just did a round of slav. We're back to man. So it says lechem. It says shemen. It says devash. Okay. So the Gemara says what? So Am Rav Yossi Rebbe Chanina lenarim lechem. So for young people it was like bread, zakenim shemen. For older people, oil. And tinokos dvash, and for babies it's dvash, right? Basically, you know, when you're younger, you have a sweet tooth, right? I'm no longer younger. I lost my sweet tooth totally. So when you're younger, you have a sweet tooth. And okay, and the Gemara says is that the man basically accommodated for where you are, what stage you are in life, and what's your preference? Ksiv slav v'karin and salav. So it's written with a shin, but meanwhile we pronounce it with like a samach. So this is a Korean ksiv, and the Gemara says correct. So Amar Rabbi Chanina tzadikim ochlem oso bishalva. Now, if you're tzadik, you're eating it with the shin, meaning slav with a shin could be also understood as shalva, tranquility, peace. And Rishayim ochlem oso v'dom lem kisilvan. Meanwhile, the Rishayim for him is going to be silva. It's going to be like a thorn. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Barava dalmini slavin. Okay, back to slavim. So the we were back in slavim just a line earlier, but. Okay, we're back in Slav. So there are four types of quails. Okay, we went to the South County Fair a couple of years ago. So they had all these birds, and there was this quail and that quail. All right, so okay, good. I saw they had literally dozens of different types of quails. So anyway, so the Dalamine Slavhain, the Elohain, and they are Shichle Vikible Upisione. Uvslav, so they're so good. Four different types of quails. So Maya de Kulo Sikhle, the best is Sikhle, and Garina de Kulo Slav, and the worst is a Slav, right? Oddly enough, interestingly enough, that's the one that came down, but understood, meaning we complained for it, so we got the most inferior of the quality. Vahava Kitsi Parasa, and it basically looks like a small bird of Mosvinala Batanura, Vitafach Lave Malitan Tanura. And basically, what happens is that it kind of blows up. It's a very fatty piece of meat you put in the oven. And it blows up in the oven. And what you're going to do in order to absorb all the fat that's coming off of it is you're going to need bread, a lot of bread, right? 13 loaves of bread. And even the bottom bread, which is now, right, that oil soaked through 13 breads, and even that bottom bread, it's going to be really hard to eat in of itself because of all the oil it absorbed. Rav Yehuda mishtakech le bei dani. Rav Yehuda would find a little bit of either slav or man, and he would find it amongst his barrels. Okay, so the man would come down in later generations, so of course I would have said no prior to today's daf. Okay, and in today's daf we're learning now that certain Amoraim were zocha that they got man. I assume the Gemara here is making reference to man. So they got man from min hashamayim. So Rav Yehuda found it amongst the barrels, and Rav Chista mishakech le beit siv, and Rav Chista found it amongst his firewood, and Rav Amaisi le arisei kol yuma. Rav, the sharecroppers, they would come and provide Rav the man that he found in the field, and yumachad lo aisei. And now one day Rav, there was no man. Sharecropper didn't bring any back, and Amr my high. And Rav wants to know something. Obviously, is going on. What's going on? So so he goes to the roof and he hears the child saying over a pasuk, and obviously by the Amorim there was no nevuah, but if a child is saying a pasuk, so that is a quasi nevuah, and the pasuk says that shamati v'tirgas bitni. So I heard and my stomach was shaking, and Amar shamamina ishmamina nach nashed Rav Chista. So Rav said Rav Chista died. So it must be that Rav Chista died. Ubado Rabba. Achil Tamida, and I was only getting the man in schus of Rav Chista, and now these died, I no longer get the man. Ksiv vata'al shech vasatal v'ksiv v'redesatal. Okay, so there was dew. The dew was on the man. The dew was under the man. So the psukim seem to be giving us conflicting reports, and the Gemara says it's not conflicting reports. It's a yes. So Amr Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina tamal amala v'tamal amata v'dama kimishimunach b'kufsa. So the Gemara says that's correct. There was dew above, there was dew below, and basically, the man was in the original Ziploc bag, the original. So there is one of the reasons why we cover the challah on Shabbos. One of the reasons is Zeichel Aman, right? The Gemara in Pesachim in the beginning of the 10th Perek has a discussion regarding the covering of the. Of the challah on Shabbos. The Gemara over there does not mention this, but it's brought down. I don't have the exact source right now. That one of the reasons that we covered the Mishnah Berurah speaks of, the Mishnah Berurah for sure brings it down, but obviously that's a more contemporary source, but there obviously has to be primary sources that talk about it is because of the Tal. That covered the man. It's, in other words, the challah on Shabbos reminds us of the double portion of the man. The man was covered both top and bottom, and therefore one of the reasons why we covered is that Zeichel Aman.
Why don't we cover the bread every day? Because the man came down every day.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. On Shabbos, fair question. But on Shabbos, we're definitely more reminded of the man, the double portion that came down on Shabbos, right? I'm sorry. I'm just racking my brain.
Friday.
I'm pretty sure I should have looked it up before the daf today. But anyway, I'm pretty sure Tosfos talks about it in the Gemara Pesachim. Okay, anyway. Dak mechus pas. Okay, so now a description of the man. We're back to the man. We're describing the man. Amar Yish Lakish Davar Shenimo Chapisa Sayad. Right? It was so delicate that basically it melted. It melted in your hands. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Davar Shenivla B'masayim V'arba V'shmonim Evarim. So it basically was absorbed by all 248 of our limbs. So Mechus Pas Tuvahava. Now the Gemara thinks that the number 248 is a gamashu of coming from the word Mechus Pas. The Gemara notes, however, that mathematically, it went a little bit over. Mechus Pas through the gamashu and sign, it comes out to be more than 248. So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Mechus Pas Ksiv. Yeah, but look at the way it's written. It's written Chasr, not Male. Take out the Vav. Now do the gamashu. And it works. It comes out to 248. Tan Rabban Lechem Abirim Achal Ish. So lechem I'm sorry. The first we start with the pasuk ente elam and ayin ches. The pasuk describes that it's lechem abirim, that the man is the bread of abirim. What is that a reference to? So lechem shemalach esher zochlemo so divrei Rabbi Akiva. So you know what the man is? It's angelic food. The malachim eat the man and we eat the man. So ukishen emru dvarim lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. So he tried this pshat out in front of Rabbi Shmuel. Amar lehem. So and either he or it sounds more like his students. So the students of Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yishmael, look at this pshat that was said over by Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmael's response is, oh, that's not a good pshat, just the opposite, it's a bad pshat. So tzuva amr lo la Akiva, Akiva tiita. So that's incorrect. V'chim alach esher zochlin lechem, you think the angels eat at all? V'alok var nemar, lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shasisi. right? When Moshe went up to Shamayim for 40 days, he didn't eat bread, he didn't drink water. So Elamani Mekayim Abirim. So now, what do you do with that pasuk in Tehillim and Perakayin Ches? So he says, Alechem Shenivla B'masayim V'arba Shmonim Eivarim. It just simply means that it's fully absorbed. Elamani Mekayim. Okay, fine. So we right now are sitting between two pshatim in terms of what does the lechem abirim mean. So one pshat by Rabbi Kiva is that's the food of angels. Rabbi Shmuel says it's not the food of angels. It just simply means that it's fully absorbed. Now, fully absorbed means what? It means no waste. No waste means that we didn't go to the bathroom in the midbar. The Gemara says that's funny. We did go to the bathroom in the midbar. It's a pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse. V'yase tiyeh lecha al azenecha. The pasuk says that in addition to all the weapons that you have, you also need to bring a shovel with you. Mm-hmm. So that when you go to the bathroom and when you defecate, so you'll dig a hole and you'll and that way you can cover up the waste. So now, you're telling me, Rabbi Shmuel, you're telling me that the mum was fully absorbed. So that means that there should be no bathroom, there should be no excrement. So the Gemara says, "Varam shetigrei umas olam mochim osam lahem." Okay, so the Gemara says, well, you know, we didn't just eat man. As we were going from place to place, from country to country, so we stopped in the flea market, in the local flea markets, and, you know, we helped ourselves off to a little bit more, a little bit extra food. That produced waste. Rabbi Lazim in part, Omer, after I'm Shetagri, Omer, so Olam Ochrim Lahem, man mafigan. Even the food that we brought along the way, So, but because we ate the man, so the man was a superfood. Not only was it fully absorbed, but it also helped for full absorption of all of the foods that we ate. Elamani mekayim v'yaseti el cha'al azenech again. So you can't take that position. I mean, you can take that position, but then you have to contend with the pasuk. The pasuk says that the shovel. So la'achar shesarchu. So the Gemara says, yeah, after Bnei Israel sinned, so then the man became less of a superfood and it wasn't fully absorbed. The plan was is that you wouldn't have to go to the bathroom and you'd be like angels. But now you're going to have to take a schlep. If you want to go to the bathroom, so out in the midbar, so you go to the outhouse. But the outhouse is three parsaos away. How did we get there? So the Gemara arrives at this number by, first of all, talking about the full length of the camp of the Jewish people. The pasuk in Bamidbar describes how it went from Yarden to Beis HaYishimos. And V'amr, Rav Abba Bar Chanan L'Didi Chazi Le'ahu Asra, V'havi Talti Parsei, and I saw it and it was three parsa. V'tana kishenifne me'nifne lo lifnim lo listeim lo l'achoreim. Now, when going to the bathroom, so you cannot go to where in the direction that we're headed. In other words, you can't go forward. You can't go over to the sides as well. You have to go to the back. So if you happen to be lucky, and in this case, unlucky, to be right at the front, at the lead of the camp of Bnei Yisrael, and you need to go to the bathroom. Now you had to walk all the way to the other side in order to go to the bathroom. Okay, and Akash Baruch Hu says, that's why I was upset. Because the original plan, was that you wouldn't have to go to the bathroom, but now that you were Sorech, so now you're gonna have to go to the bathroom, and for some people that is a hike.
It was for everyone, right?
Okay. I understand the way the Gemara says it. It's only for the people that are on one end, and not for everybody. It seems that way. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Okay, fine. So I understand you're trying to visualize how exactly it would look. I appreciate that. Okay, we're going to go a little bit further this morning. Okay, good. The Atanav Shena Yevasha. So you hear this when the Jewish people are complaining. Meaning, now we're back in Parshas Baloscha, and they say, Nafshenu Yevasha, so that our souls are dried up. Meaning, they're basically remarking on the fact that, look, we're eating a lot, and there is no waste, and that's not human. Right? Yesh Yilud Isha Shemachnis Veino Motzi. Meaning there's intake and there's outtake. That's how the system works. And meanwhile, there's intake and there's no outtake. Something's wrong. Something's got to be going on. Now, as per the advice of the Gaon, I'm going to be skipping now the next two lines of Gemara. Because really, that was the previous Gemara's discussion. And according to the Gaon, it was mistakenly inserted over here. and Davar Acher, and we just go right to Davar Acher, the last line of the Amud. So Davar Acher, Lechem Abirim, so Achol Ish, I'm sorry, Lechem Abirim Achol Ish, back to the Pasuk in Tehillim and Ayin Ches, where we so far now have offered two Pshatim of Lechem Abirim. One, Rabbi Kivitz, angelic food. Two, Rabbi Yishmael. It's totally absorbed within the body. At least that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Okay. And now a third pshat of Lechem Abirim. So Achol Ish, the Yoshua, the Ish over here is a reference to Yoshua, as we are now on the top of Ayin Vav and Aleph. So Sheyared Lo Man Keneged Kol Yisrael. For Yoshua, so he received man. Why? Yeshua received his own portion of man. So yeah, the Gemara says absolutely. So Ksiv Hacha Ish V'Ksiv Hasam Kach Lechaz Yeshua Ben Non Ish Asher Ruach Bo. So first of all, how do we know that the Ish is a reference to Yeshua? So we have what's called a Gzeres Shava. So Ve'ema Moshe D'Ksiv Aish Moshe Anav Mi Od. So why don't we just simply say that's Moshe Rabbeinu? Isn't he also an Ish? So the Gemara says yeah, but done an Ish V'Ish V'In done an Ish Me Ve'ha Ish. So yeah, but it's a better Gzeres Shava to go to Yeshua because it's a better match. It's Ish and it's Ish. Now, Yoshua, what is he doing receiving his separate individuated man? What's that all about? So Rashi on the top of the Amud says, I'll tell you what that's about. Rashi writes, I'm the first Rashi in Ayin Vav. So Sha'ala im Moshe ad Tchume Ahar, because we know that what happened with Yoshua is that he followed Moshe up the mountain. But he didn't go all the way up the mountain, obviously. Moshe went up. So what he did is that basically he escorted Moshe up to a point, Rashi says up to the Tchum of the mountain, which means that the B'nai Yisrael were even further back. And now, basically, you have, here's the picture. You have B'nai Yisrael at a distance from Har Sinai. You now have Yoshua, who was escorting, but had to stop somewhere along the way. And then Moshe went. And where was Yoshua now for those 40 days? He stayed right there, says Rashi. Rashi writes, V'yaka Moshe v'Yoshua m'shar sov v'yam Moshe al-har. Sinai v'himtim lo Yoshua sham kol mem yom. He was there for all 40 days. Shenemar v'shma Yoshua's kol ha'am. Bira l'manu shelo haya imahem v'sham haya yorei lo man keneged kol Yisrael. And that's why Yoshua needed his own individuated man because he was separated from an Yisrael. It's interesting. The Gemara writes over here, keneged kol Yisrael.
Right.
It sounds like he got the same amount of money that the rest of Klal Yisrael received, right? Like Phil said, what is he doing with all that money? Okay, that part I'm not sure, but that's let's quickly review. That was a lot of Gemara today, okay? But we did good, and we're set for Shabbos. So the coincidence today, of course, is that it's Shabbos, so it's Erev Shabbos. So it's a great day to talk about the money. Okay, the topics that we covered today. Were the Inui Haman, why is man considered an Inui, which is how the Gemara segued from the first daf of Yuma, which was yesterday's daf, first daf and a half, and to today's daf. So it's because the Torah says, Hama'achilcha man, ba'minbar, laman anoscha, it's an Inui, the man's an Inui. In what way is an Inui? The Gemara gave us two ways. And from there, the Gemara did not stop with the man. The Gemara discussed how the man basically was obviously a unique and very special food. So first of all, the Gemara talked about, I'm just going to rattle off the topics that we discussed today. Gemara talked about how seeing is so important when you're eating, and the presentation of the food is really important. And then the Gemara also talks about the power of seeing also in the negative aspects as well. The Gemara spoke about anxiety. The Gemara talks about various ways to deal with the anxiety, either not to focus on it or to share your anxiety with other people. The Gemara noted that that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives a klala, it's not like you and I, right? When we're really upset with somebody, we really want to hurt them. We'll hurt them in any way possible. With the Kadosh Baruch Hu, his klala is very measured, and even within the klala, so Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure to take care of everybody within the klala. The pasuk says, "Achrinu sadaga." We remember the fish. What fish are they talking about? Rav and Shmuel offer two interpretations, and we went through both of them. What did the man taste like? The Gemara said that there was an opinion in the Gemara that it tasted like anything except for the chameshes minim that are actually mentioned in the Torah. What is meant by the various terms describing the man? The God, the Lavan. So the Gemara offers a couple of explanations of what that is. Collection of the man. Three different descriptions in the Torah of whether it was door-to-door or whether you had to go out a little bit or whether you had to go on a hike. And the Gemara explained that as well. The preparation of the man. What, did it come down fully prepared, or did you have to do preparation again? Three different descriptions, and the Gemara explains all three. What came down and accessorized the man? So the Gemara says various things, meats, jewelry, perfumes, precious stones. Again, the Gemara talked about the taste of the man, how it had various tastes, just like either a child or just like a shade. The Gemara then went on to a description of the slav, and the Gemara talked about how the slav was given to us at inappropriate times. The people who ate the slav, some died instantly, some died after 30 days. The Gemara explained the differences. The shechting of the slav. The Gemara thought for a moment that this is a source of shechita. The Gemara did retreat from that position. What did the slav taste like? Another topic. Back to the man. And the four different types of the slav. Back to the man. The dew below and the dew above. The Torah's description of the man, which is michus pas, which the Gemara explains that means that we absorbed it in total. And then the last thing that we discussed is that Pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Ayin Ches, where it describes the man as Lechem Abirim, and the end of today's daf offered three explanations of Lechem Abirim Achal Ish. What does that mean? Pshat number one of Rabbi Akiva is that it was angelic food. Pshat number two of Rabbi Shmuel is that it was fully absorbed. It went to every aver, and there was no waste. And we didn't see that as a positive. We saw that as a negative. And finally, the third and final pshat is the Lechem Abirim Achal Ish is a reference to Yehoshua. And Yehoshua got his own personal man. And it's because that during the 40 days, he was not with Bnei Yisrael and he wasn't with Moshe. He got his own man.